Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
In the beginning of our Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and the first part of Genesis chapter 2, we see all of the things that our God made in 7 days. And in chapter 1, verse 31, it says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. The word very means exceeding. It was perfect. It was a sinless earth with a sinless man on it. Sinless animals, a sinless ground. It was the way that it will be again. The way it was is the way it will be again. The Lord is going to redeem the earth, redeem his people, remove the curse. That's what he's going to do. But in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us what our God did. And in Genesis chapter 2, it goes a little further in detail, and it tells us why the Lord did some of the things that he did. Chapter 1 says God made man. Chapter 2 says how God made man. Chapter 1 says he made man male and female. Chapter 2 tells us why he made male and female. Chapter 1 says God did it all. And I love this. Chapter 1 keeps saying God did this, God did this. But chapter 2 says the Lord God did it all. Specifically, the Lord God. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God made the earth and the heavens. He made every plant of the field, every herb of the field. Everything this world has belongs to the Lord God. That's the point. He made it. He owns it. All of the dirt belongs to the Lord God. And he took some of his own dirt and he formed a man with it. And that man and everything he produces belongs to the Lord God. But after he formed that man, the man laid there just a lifeless body. So the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who God is. The Lord Jesus Christ leaned up to Adam's face and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that living soul belongs to the Lord God. Everything belongs to the Lord God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he said in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This breath of the spirit of life, God breathed into man. And this breath that he gave us, it comes from God. This breath that we have right now. I am breathing right now, and you're breathing right now. And it's the gift of God to a body. It's not man's own breath. This world assumes that man makes his own breath, but he does not. God sends it. Our breath is on loan for a while until he takes it back, until he finally says, that's it. That was the last one. A child enters this world, and everybody is waiting for that child to enter this world alive. So that doctor, a child is born, and the doctor does something to make that child cry. He'll pinch that child, or he'll do something to inflict some pain, and that child will take a deep breath in and then cry out. The breath of the Spirit of life. God in grace gave that to mankind. Well, back over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." The Lord God planted a garden. God did it. Now that says something about who our God is. It tells us something about what he's like, what his desires are, his tenderness and his love of life and beauty and fragrance. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15 says, to dress it and keep it. This perfect ground, in a perfect garden, a sinless man in a sinless garden, with a sinless ground, there was no such thing as fatigue. There was no such thing as trouble. Labor. There was no such thing as sorrow and disappointment. There were no weeds. No weeds to take over. He didn't have to pull one weed. Everything was in its place. Everything. There was no such thing as sweat. Everything that Adam did was 100% purely for his recreation and pleasure. Nothing had to be done. It was finished. It was perfect. God said it's very good, exceeding good. Nothing could be improved upon. It was finished. It was perfect. Nothing needed to be plowed. The earth was already bringing forth fruit. No seed needed to be sown. It was bringing forth fruit. Nothing needed to be planted. Nothing needed to be watered. God had already made every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food. It was perfect. It was finished. It was paradise. That paradise still exists. Our Lord told a thief on a cross, he said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Absolute paradise. Well, Genesis 2 verse 9 says, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Two trees were specifically mentioned. The tree of life, and the Lord God said, freely eat of it. Freely eat of it. The other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God said, don't touch it. In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. One tree led to life. The other one led to death. Every man and woman needs to know this. Every single man and woman on the face of this earth needs to understand what our God is saying right here. Because those two trees are still in existence. And the tree that we partake of is a matter of life and death. This is an issue of life and death. One tree was given for food. It was a gift given for food. The other tree was not given for food. It was not a gift. One was of life, and it was unto life. The other was of the knowledge of good and evil, and it was unto death. Now, what do you call a gift unto life? What is a gift unto life called? It's called grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace is a gift unto life, for by grace are you saved. The gift is Christ. The gift of God, the grace of God is Christ. For God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son, Christ. Now, what do you call the knowledge of good and evil? Well, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 20. I hope you're following in your Bible with me. This is so vital. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Don't do that. Don't have any other gods before the true and living God. That's evil. That's evil. Make sure everybody knows that. Teach that. That's evil. Verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Don't do that. That's evil. Verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Do that. That's good. Tell everybody to do that. That's a good thing. Verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Do that. That's good. Verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." Don't do that. That's evil. Verse 14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Don't do that. That's evil. Verse 15 says, "Thou shalt not steal." Don't do that. Evil. Verse 16 says, "Thou shalt not lie." Don't bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's evil. Verse 17 says, "Thou shalt not covet." It's evil. The knowledge of good and evil is the law. The works of the law. God told the first man and woman on earth, here's the difference. And here's the consequences of grace and works. Adam, Eve, you're alive. And it's by the free grace of God. Freely eat and live. But as soon as you lay hold on works, as soon as you try to bring life through the law into my finished work, the work that is very good, perfect, complete, as soon as you lay hold on that, thou shalt surely die. Because you cannot supply what the law demands. Adam, Eve, it's either grace or works. It's either free grace or free will. One of the two. There's no mixing them. There is no common ground between the two. It's one or the other. One leads to life. The other one will lead you straight to death. Well, what did Adam and Eve's free will choose? Back over in Genesis chapter 3 this time. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." He told Eve, you'll be just like God, responsible to the law. Responsible to the law. When Christ came to this earth, do you know that He obeyed the law in every jot and every tittle? He did not break the law in one point. Every single thing that God does is in agreement with the law. The reason is because His nature is the law. The law just declares His nature. Now, every single thing that I do is disobedience to the law. And it's because my nature, my heart, hates the law of God. My flesh despises the law of God. Christ, by nature, He cannot disobey the law. But I, by nature, cannot obey the law. So if I want to live, if I want to live, and if you want to live, we cannot touch God's law. We cannot partake of God's holy law. Only God can touch it. But verse 6 says in Genesis chapter 3, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." They became immediately under the law, and they were found lacking. They were free from the law before. Now they're subject to it. Now they're under its curse. Verse 8 says, "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." They were afraid. Verse 9, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." That's sin, accusing another of your own doing. Verse 12, "The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What happened in the Garden of Eden? What happened? There's an old saying that's been around for a long time. Wrong on the fall, wrong on it all. What happened in the Garden of Eden? The answer is, man died. That's what we just read about right there. Man died. Man went from immortal to mortal. Man went from innocent to guilty. Sin went to work in his body and brought misery and affliction and disease and ultimately death. Death. Verse 22 says, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The Lord said, Now that man has his hands on works, now that he's laid hold of the law, lest he try to mix that with my perfect grace, thinking that'll give him life, man was driven out. In the Garden of Eden, man became separated from God. Severed from God. Man had it all. Man lost it all. In Adam, all die. Right here in this chapter, though, we have a but God. That's the gospel. But God, look at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Clothed them. As soon as they fell, God revealed the gospel to them. He showed them both that the wages of their sin was death. But in that death, a covering has been made for your sin. God killed a lamb. Who was that lamb? That lamb that died instead of Adam and Eve? Who was the substitute for sinners? It was the same one that made the sinners. The one that made us is the one that bought us. He bought us with his own blood. And he clothed us in his own righteousness. We sinned, but he took the punishment. He died so we might live. That's the gospel. The gospel is the good news of how the Lamb of God became the substitute for sinners. You know, I believe that the question I'll never stop asking, and I believe that the question that every saved sinner will never stop asking is, why? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ do this for me? Why would he do this for us? Well, go with me back to chapter 2, and let's look at Adam as the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's look at Eve as us, and I believe we'll see why. Genesis 2, verse 18 says, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet. It is not good that Christ should be alone. Why would God say that? Why would God say that? The reason is because he wanted to. It's what was in his heart. The Father said it's not good that the Son should live the rest of eternity without a bride. someone to hold to and cling to and love and cherish. Verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Now think of all the beings of heaven that God created. Celestial beings, cherubims, seraphims, angels. None of them did Christ set his affection on like he did fallen man. Is that not amazing? His heart is for fallen man. The only reason any of this goodness happened to us is for God so loved. That's the only reason. Christ loved his bride all the way to the end. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is wonderful. 1 Timothy 2 verse 13 says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Christ was not deceived. He took that sin upon himself willingly. Why? Love for his bride. That's why. Love for his bride. And Genesis chapter 2 verse 21 says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." God the Father put all of the chosen bride in Christ. And then Christ slept the sleep of death for 3 days. And during that sleep, all of the people in him were made new creatures. Verse 22 says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." They were made new creatures of righteousness, sinlessness, holiness, purity. Verse 23, "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. As I am, so is she." Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." He says, wherever I go, you're going to go. As I reign, you're going to reign with me. You'll be by my side to have and to hold from this day forward. Verse 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." They were spotless, sinless, innocent. Neither one had anything to be ashamed of. All that sin was completely gone, never to be remembered again. And they both lived happily ever after. What a story. The man and his bride. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless his word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.